I will pretty much go over everybody's exam after they're closed. I still got some people with exams out. If you haven't taken it yet, no worries. I extended it to Wednesday because over the weekend, the system, Haiku Learning Management System, had a couple of hours. It was down, and so that's not your fault. And so if you was planning on taking the exam at that time, some people was trying, I wanted to extend it to make sure that you had all the time you needed. So we'll go over the exam next week. Tonight, we've dealt with the first, the tri-type being. We've dealt, understanding we're a tri-type being, we've dealt with, spent so much time on the soul. It's because the soul is the entryway into your spirit. Most people don't realize that. The entryway into your spirit. And it is the middleman between your spirit and your body. So if your soul is not properly intact, not operating properly, excuse me, if we don't gain control over our soul, you're gonna have issues. You're gonna have issues. Just gonna have issues because the soul, we're gonna see in a few minutes, made of five different parts. And of course, that's one of the questions on the exam. I will go over it tonight. So if you miss that question, there's no hope for you. No hope. No hope. No hope. In 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, because here's one of the fallacies that people have about the mind. Listen to that internet. The mind is a very integral part into the things of God being accomplished here in the earth realm. Very integral part. Because your mind controls what you do. Your arm don't move till your mind tell it move. You think you seeing red. You ain't seeing red. That's your mind telling you it's red. You take in the color, your mind processes it and tells you that is red. That's how you know that's red. So if you don't have your mind renewed, if you don't take care of your mind, if you don't take care of, see, Isaiah, I think it's 1 and 18. He said, come, let us reason together. That's God telling us, come, let us reason together so that your actions won't be as scarlet, meaning so your sins it'll be white as snow. In other words, let us think together so that when you go to do something, you'll do it and you'll do it right. See, when you have the mind of God on something, you have absolute accuracy. You have absolute power. You have no limitations. You have nothing that can stop you from accomplishing it. God said, let us reason together. He said, in Joshua 1, meditate day and night. Meditate simply means to think over and over and over again. The only thing that can separate your mind and your mind and your spirit are so closely related. The only thing that can separate the two is the Word of God. It's Hebrews 4 and 12. And God meant them to work that way. God never told us not to think. He just said don't think without Him. That's why He said, come, let us reason together. And a lot of times we find that we're going to deal with different components of our mind. We find that a lot of times when we get to tripping, it's because we're letting our mind operate without God. Do you know why certain people who study psychology, you know, when they go too far, they themselves go crazy? The reason why is because they're trying to be escorted into a place they weren't designed to be by themselves. They were trying to be escorted. They're trying to go alone into the spirit world in which you need the Holy Spirit to escort you into the supernatural. You can't go there by yourself. You need the Holy Spirit. Listen a minute. You need the Holy Spirit to escort you into the spirit realm because stuff happening so fast. Everything happening at once. Everything just gone, moving. And if you got to go in there just with your mind, it will drive you crazy. So that's why you need the Holy Spirit to escort you into the spirit world. That's why it's important, Romans 12 and 2, that you be not conformed to the world, be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Are you seeing this? 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And see, holy rollers like to, they don't want to think. They just want to flow in the spirit. Well, hold up now. Hold up now. Before you start flowing in the spirit, you must first have instructions.
That's right.
If you don't have no instructions, you ain't accomplish nothing. When God talks to you, you have to learn how to process those instructions. God told Noah to build an ark. God told him how to build an ark. He told him what wood to use. He told him how big to make it. He told him what to put on the ark. So Noah had to take time to let that process. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And the 5th verse, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself, where? You don't cast down all thoughts. Just the ones that try to challenge the mind of God. So if I'm not supposed to cast down all thoughts, that means God can properly use my mind to get his will done in his earth realm.
Amen.
So that means I have to make my mind cooperate with my spirit. I have to make my mind cooperate with God. I have to make my mind. One of my favorite scriptures, I think, is Luke 19 and 10, I think it is. 19:22, I think. Go there. Luke 21, I meant to say. Luke 21. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Luke 21:19. This is a scripture I live by. I can't get offended no more. I can't get offended anymore. I really don't get offended. We're going to talk about emotions late. We're going to talk about emotions in a few minutes. But do I get mad? Yeah, I get mad, but I can't get offended because I practice this scripture. Of course, if somebody do you wrong, you're going to be angry. But offense is when you let that thing linger and you're ready to do something about it. You can get angry, but you don't have to be offended. This is what allows you not to be offended. Luke 21:19. In your patience, possess ye your soul. When you pause, you're able to grab your mind. And you're able to grab the 5 parts that make up your mind. Because if you let any one of them get loose, they're going to mess something up. You have to pause. I don't ever react. I heard Dr. Tom say this one time. He said, you don't react and then you respond. There's a difference. React is when somebody does something or something happens and you just completely just react. You act again. Respond simply means you take your time, see what God says, and then you tell it what you wanted to do. There's a difference. Go with me to Matthew, the 16th chapter. It says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What profit a man if you gain the whole world and you still can't control your mind? You're not going to be able to enjoy what you've gained. I see so many people that have a lot and they let people victimize them. Matter of fact, there's two books. Dr. Thompson mentioned them over and over again, and it fails and it behooves me how people hear him say these books and they still have never read them. One is Pulling Your Own String. If you have not read that book, Pulling Your Own Strings by Dr. Wayne Dyer, Pulling Your Own Strings, what that means? That means I'm not going to be controlled by anybody. I'm not going to be a victim. People are not going to victimize me. Pulling your own strings. Some of you may be getting victimized and don't know it. Second book is I'm Okay, You Okay by Dr. Harris. There's four transactional analysis you have to have with people. There are always four transactional analysis. Three of them are not good. One of them is the one you want to be at. First one is, I'm not okay, you not okay. That ain't where you want to be. The second one is, you okay, I'm not okay. That ain't good either. The third one is, I'm okay and you not okay. That ain't where we want to be. The one you want to be is, I'm okay and you okay. Everybody comfortable in their own skin. You as ministers, you will have to understand this. Because when you deal with people, people love to manipulate. And the first thing we're going to talk about tonight in a few minutes, is they like to manipulate you with their emotions. So you got to be able to understand how you deal with people and how you can't let people victimize you. Listen. People are going to come in your life and people are going to leave out your life. That's just life. But you can't have these ups and downs when people come in, you up, people leave, you down. Goodbye. Yeah, right. Yeah. Goodbye. Y'all, I say goodbye. Good riddance. Because your mind, if you don't, you won't keep your mind intact. God can't use schizophrenic people. I mean, it's funny, but he can't. I mean, you're one way one minute, you're next way another minute. God, who are you? Are you seeing this? There are five areas of your mind. Number one is the emotion. Number two is the intellect or reasoning. The third is the memory. The fourth is the imagination. And the fifth is the will. And we're going to spend the rest of the year dealing with these, all five. The emotion, the area of emotion, intellect, reasoning, second one. The third one is memory. Fourth one is imagination. And the fifth one is the will. Now, that's a lot of territory for Satan to have access to. So we got to learn how to guard all of them. Do you realize that it was the mind that caused Adam and Eve to mess up? Satan didn't make them do it. There was something, we talked about this, there was something already lying dormant in Eve. Because Adam and Eve had stopped spending time with God. So there was something lying dormant in her that Satan pricked. Because all he did was come and lie to her. He said, you ain't going to die. Knowing good well God just told him, if you eat of this tree, you should surely die. So whenever you get disconnected from the source of sane thinking, you will begin to think insane. Now, I don't know who in the world, your creator just told you, if you eat off this tree, you'll surely die. Here it is, somebody come out the blue that had nothing to do with your creation. Come and tell you, you eat a tree, you ain't gonna die. And you believe them over your creator. That means he and she got disconnected from same thinking. Are you seeing this? Leads me to say this. Everybody has a brain. Everybody watching me has a brain. And your brain is your mind. Your mind consists of those five things. Now listen to me very carefully. This is how God designed it. Somebody is going to shape your thinking. Some other human is going to shape your thinking. But God left it up to you to choose who. Somebody's shaping your mind right now. I'm shaping your mind right now. Our minds were always, that's what God was doing. God was setting an example. What he was doing with Adam and Eve is he was shaping their thinking so that they could be released outside of Eden and begin to be fruitful and multiply. Just like God said, let there be light, this need to grow. God said this grow. God said this happening. God was going to teach them and was going to shape their thinking so that when they walk out of Eden into that darkness, they was going to be able to recreate Eden all over the earth. That's him was shaping their thinking. 3 John 2. Right, watch this. Go there. He was shaping their thinking. But what happened is they let somebody else come in to shape their thinking. Third John, second verse. Beloved, I wish above all that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospered. So if my soul is not prospering, nothing else is going to prosper. Are you seeing this? See, you can't keep ignoring your mind. Talking about you're going to walk in the Spirit. Because you need your mind to walk in the Spirit. You can't throw your mind on the side. You're going to have to deal with your mind. You're going to have to tell your mind what to think. You're going to tell your mind how to feel. You got to tell your mind what to remember, what not to remember. You got to tell your mind, this is what we're going to do. You've been given, that's when you do that, that's your spirit speaking up, telling your mind what to do. Are you seeing this? He says, I wish that your soul, that you be in health and prosper even as your soul prosper. He didn't say as your spirit prosper, because ain't nothing wrong with your spirit. All right. If something is wrong with your spirit, that means God did an incomplete job when Jesus died on the cross. When you became a recreated human spirit after you accepted Jesus Christ and your spirit became alive to God again and something is wrong with your spirit, that means God did an incomplete job. So no, your spirit is fine, but your mind allows your spirit to be expressed into the natural. So if we can't get that thing straight, then the expression is going to be wrong. This is why you have to live holy. This is why you, see, living holy begins in the mind. Because every sinful act you do begins with a thought. So this is why Jesus said you have to renew your mind with the word of God. Because when you renew your mind with the word of God, it cleans up your thoughts. I never forget, Brother Hagin used to say how when you take the word of God, you begin to read the word of God, it takes your thoughts and begin to scrub them like in a washing machine. It begins to throw your thoughts around and get all the dirt off your thoughts and make sure the thoughts are clean so that when your mind gets ready to tell your body what to do, it's clean acts. Yes, 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 yes. Are you seeing this? Yes. Your environment produces your thoughts. Your thoughts tells you how to feel. Your feeling causes you to act. And your actions bring results. That's how it works. That's how it works. This is why people talk about, you know, that's why I hear Dr. Thomas say this, and I totally agree with him. I don't want a God I can't feel. Sometimes. Your emotions, if you use them properly, can be used for God. If you remember, Jesus cried at Lazarus' grave and compassion was released. And despite of all the unbelief there was a man that got raised from the dead. Then on the other hand, Jesus went to the temple. Calmly made a whip. And whipped them out. That was Jesus being led by the Spirit of God. How we know that? They say Jesus, he had no sin. So he ain't done nothing wrong. So when he took that whip and got them out of that house of God and said, you made it a den of thieves, it just will be a house of prayer, you made a den of thieves, that was him moving by the Spirit of God emotionally. Are you seeing this? So your mind is very important. Your mind is very important. And so we have to begin to take care of it, because if you don't take care of your mind will take care of you. Will take care of you. The first aspect of your mind is your emotions. This is the loudest one. This is the one that usually speaks first. Who's she talking to? Who he talking to? That's the one that usually speaks the loudest. And what I said, your emotions or your feelings cause you to do? Act. Your feelings cause you to act. So your feelings, this is why it's a process. Your environment creates your thoughts. Your thoughts produce your feelings. Your feelings tells you how to act. Your act brings results. This is why, you know, you can't do, if God gives you instructions and you ain't feeling them, you got to stay there till you feel them. Because you ain't going to do it with your whole heart. You ever heard they say, he did that half-heartedly? That's because all of him wasn't in it. So sometimes God is going to tell you to do things that you don't totally agree with. That's why you got to stay before him until you feel them. Until you become emotionally driven to do that. The first way you control your feelings and your emotions is to doubt them. Doubt every last one of them. The reason why is because now you can pause and find out, is this emotion coming from God or is it coming from an outside source? If you remember, God kept telling the people of Israel, fear not, before he gives them instructions. That's because if he wouldn't have told them fear not, they'd have been wallowing in an emotion that would have caused them to mishear what God was really trying to tell them. Because they're in fear. You got to realize, wait a minute. We was in slavery. We'd have been through 10 plagues. Then Moses come tell us, go and borrow this stuff from these people. Then we just leave it with the people stuff. Then we get to the Red Sea. We trap. This man holds a staff up and the water separates. And the ground got hard. And he tell us, come on, filing. So you got all these things happening. So God had to prelude what he was going to tell them with fear not. Because they've seen all this stuff and stuff they never seen before, bread dropping out the sky. They can't keep none of it. Somebody try to keep something, they see it turn to maggots. So they don't know what's going on. So if God had not comforted them and told them, fear not, they'd have been wallowing in an emotion that would have skewed everything God said. How many times have God been talking to you and it's been skewed by how you feel? It's been skewed, or it's been filtered, and you heard it the wrong way, or you took it the wrong way because of your emotions. Now, emotions are not bad. If they were bad, God wouldn't have gave to it. God has feelings. The Bible says his anger was kindled toward them. God said he's a jealous God. Jesus rejoiced when the disciples came back after they came back and told him how they were able to cast out devils. He rejoiced with them because he wanted to emphasize his excitement that they were able to hear the voice of God and do what he had told them to do. Are you seeing this? Jesus at Lazarus' grave was moved with compassion. He had tears. The Bible says Jesus wept. Shortest scripture in the Bible. He wept. You ain't crying if you ain't got no emotions going on. You ain't going to just break up and just start crying. You got some emotions backing up them tears. Are you seeing this? So your emotions can be used properly. But if you don't do Luke 21:19, your emotions going to run you. You know these up and down days. You know these days where you don't feel like talking to nobody. You can't have these days. You can't have these days where your emotions high on Tuesday. People know not to talk to you on Wednesday. The first way to control your emotions, you have to doubt every last one of them. I ain't say you weren't going to embrace them. Just doubt them and keep them at bay and say, wait a minute, I need to find out where it's coming from. Somebody tells me something. I begin to feel a certain way. Hold up. Let me see where that's coming from. You say, well, how I do that? Well, you just simply just pause. See, what happened is we as humans, we get used to reacting. We get used to just moving so quick. Because we got to be on top. You know, somebody tell me something, somebody tell you something about my back. We go back at it. Come on, we go back at it. We chop this up. Because we got ego. Can't let nobody show us up. You see this? You see what I'm saying? But this is the reason why you have to understand that you're okay. It don't matter what you tell me. When I walk away from you, I know who I am and I know whose I am. No matter what you say to me, no matter what you do to me, when we walk away, I know who I am and I know whose I am. See, if you don't understand that, then sometimes God will tell you to check that emotion that ain't from me when you about to go back after somebody and you don't do it. And therefore you ruin a perfectly good opportunity to minister to somebody. Because your emotions wasn't in check. When the Bible talks about seeking God's face, it's not actually talking about seeing God's face and looking. You think about when you make eye contact with somebody and you talking to them, you're really looking for their facial expressions because you're really trying to see what they feeling. You notice that? You know how the FBI, they study in the FBI how they can tell if somebody lying or not. Because they got certain I don't know them all, but they say if you start looking to the left, up and to the left, you know, if you're looking up to the left, you might be lying, you know, or if this person's looking down, or they get the eye get to twitch, you know what, you know. But they're looking for the facial features to see the emotion. So when it talks about seeking God's face, is really talking about seeing how God feels about this. When you're about to make a decision, you're seeking God's faith. God, how you feel about this? God, what are you thinking about this? God, what are you saying about this? Because I want to make sure that I feel you on this. I want to make sure I understand how you feel about this. Because I don't want to do anything to upset you. Amen. I don't want to do anything, God, that will cause you to take your glory from me. See, I want to make sure, God, that I'm in total line, in line with what you're feeling about this. And you'll be surprised a lot of times God not feeling the same way about something the way you feel about it. Which means now you got to make adjustments so that you can feel like he feels about it. Sometimes God will tell you how to deal with a situation differently than you want to deal with it. Because remember now, your environment leads to your thoughts. Your thoughts leads to your feelings or your emotions. Your emotions and all your feelings cause you to act. So if you're about to deal with a situation, you got certain emotions backing those actions up. So now you talk to God about it. God say, no, I need you to do this. So now that means in order to get those set of actions going, you got to change how you feel. And it might not be originally how you wanted to handle it. So now you got to stay before God and say, God, I need you to help me. Jesus did it. Jesus said, God, if there be any other way, you could do this. If you take this cup from me, if you could be any other way, he said, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's him seeking God's face. God, how you feel about this? Now, what's funny about that, thank you, Holy Spirit. What's funny about that is, he is the Son of God. He is part of the triumph, so he knew what God wanted. So when he got there, he had to deal with those feelings so that he can fulfill the actions that God had been prophesying for centuries. Your emotions are important, and you have to deal with them. You can't let them go all overboard and get all over the place and, you know, even when we're being corrected, we don't like it. But do you know you're controlling the emotions that you get from that? Especially if it's from somebody that you trust. If it's from somebody you trust, then you must tell yourself, this is for my betterment. As soon as you tell yourself, this is for my betterment, that's when your emotions begin to change. And you know what? A lot of times what happened to me is I begin to see, you know what? I was doing that wrong. Because my emotions changed about it. It's no longer me trying to protect what I want to do, but it's now me changing my emotions so I can really see what I need to change. Are you seeing this? The Bible tells us how to encourage yourself. You know, you don't need nobody to encourage you. It's good if somebody encourages you, but you don't have to. You understand me? Nothing. I'm encouraging myself. Once again, that's why you have to know that you're okay. That's why you can't have nobody pulling your string. You can't have nobody trying to control you. People try to use their emotions to control you. And they try to use manipulation. People use emotions. You know, you ever been around somebody, every time they just always whining, stuff ain't going right, trying to get you to get the pity party with them. I had a friend one time. Every time he called me, we first started off talking, he called me from another state. He said he'd deal with these problems. Say, okay, man, yeah, this is what you do. Yeah, man, I'm praying for you, this is what you do. So when I called back, you tell, wait a minute, you got the same problem? I mean, we talking out of 3 months, you got the same problem? I tell you what, man, look, don't call me no more until you get these problems solved, because obviously you ain't listening to me. You just want somebody to cry with you. You want somebody to agree with your foolishness. No, I'm not doing that. Listen, you cannot be around negative people and control your emotions. That's why you can't be around people talking about your leader and think your mind gonna stay straight. Because whatever you hear gonna affect your thought process. Your thought process begin to control how you feel. Yeah. So now The correction that you got 3 months ago, when you hearing them complain about how pastor ain't doing it right, how pastor should have done this, now Satan just going to do the same thing he did to Eve, going to come to you and say, you remember he corrected you? And now you got all these emotions coming up. Now all of a sudden, the Lord is leading you in a different direction. Are you seeing it? All based on emotions, and your emotions caused your outlook to be skewed. So we have to learn to control the emotions. Control them and use them for God. David had a great one when he said he danced out of his clothes. He was so grateful to what God, that was emotion. His wife got embarrassed. He said, wait a minute. You think you're embarrassed? Now you ain't seen nothing yet. That was him using his emotions to praise God. Are you seeing this? See, you're not going to do anything. You're not going to do anything unless you feel it. That's the way we made. And a lot of times we try to ignore our feelings. You know, you shouldn't ignore your feelings. You know what you're feeling? You know what your emotions really are? They're indicators. The indicators to what you're thinking. If you want to know what a person thinking, just watch their emotions. You want to know somebody like it? Watch how their body language is. Because their body language is just a reflection of what they're feeling. What they're feeling is just a reflection of what they're thinking. Are you seeing this? Your feelings are... I use my feelings to indicate... Wait a minute, let me pause. Luke 21:19, let me pause. I'm feeling this way. Wait a minute, what is causing this? See, what we don't realize is you can pause on your mind. You can hit pause on your mind. You can hit pause and say, wait a minute, where all this is coming from? Because your mind is steady moving. Man, you get thousands of thoughts flying through your mind at seconds at a time. And it just, so when you pause and you catch your mind, now your mind got to be accountable for what's going through it. Are you seeing this? So your emotions, you have to control your emotions. How do you control your emotions? You doubt every last one of them. Don't have no confidence and no emotions that you don't first check out. No emotions. You know, I don't care how fine she is. Emotions gonna be rolling. Let's slow this up. Find out what's going on. Are you seeing this? If I don't like my job, I know God gave me the job, and I'm starting to feel like I don't like it. Wait a minute, slow up. Let's find out what's going on. Where did it start coming from? Is God trying to make me uncomfortable because he's doing something else in my life? Or is it I'm getting false signals? So I need to go before God and check this out. God, where is this coming from? Is that making sense? See, when you properly use your emotions, you can use them for God. Because once again, God has emotions. God, the Bible says he's a jealous God. He says anger was kindled against him. God talks about his joy. How can he release joy if he ain't joy? Are you seeing this? Learning to control your emotions. Pause. You're going to have, trust me, before the night over with, you're going to have a chance to practice this. I don't know what it's going to be. Somebody might pull out in front of you. One of your classmates might ignore you. You're trying to speak to them. They really ain't paying attention to you. You're going to have a chance to practice this. You know, I don't know, your cat barking, your dog barking, you're going to have a chance to, why are you trying to watch this broadcast? You're getting upset. Well, wait a minute. Just put the cat outside. But you got to pause. It's funny, but But if you don't watch it, your emotions will take you to a place. Because your emotions are indicators, and your emotions were never supposed to be a leader. Never supposed to be a leader. Your emotions are only supposed to be fuel. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
A car without an engine, with a tank full of gas. Did y'all hear what I say? A car with no engine, with a tank full of gas, ain't gonna do you no good. So your emotions were never meant to be the engine. It was only supposed to be the fuel that get the engine to do what it's supposed to do, to get the power out. Did that make, that was a great illustration. Did you see that? That was the Holy Spirit. That was right on the spot. So it's never, so therefore, never let your emotions become the engine. Let it stay as the fuel. You know, I don't know if anybody, when you're preaching and God gives you something on the spot, man, that energy, that's fuel to get your point across as to what God is saying at that very moment. But that ain't the thing that caused deliverance. See, that's where people get confused with the emotion and the hooping and the hollering and the humming. They hear that and they miss what God is really trying to do. And so now, I'm finna close now, but what that does, it triggers memories. We're gonna talk about memories. The hooping and the humming, it triggers memories. What it do? You remember when one time you was in a service and God was really moving? And God really was moving at that moment. But what happens is the next time God might not be moving because it sounds like it. The right harmony, the right key, they saying the right words. And you had an experience before. Now your memory is simply recalling what happened before, trying to reproduce it when the power ain't really there. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
All right, we got to control. I have no more tonight, but we have to control our emotions. You got time tomorrow? You gonna have practice? Oh, you gonna have practice? You know, just because we talk about it tonight, Satan come and give you a test. He gonna try you. He gonna try you, but you have to pause. Somebody gonna say something stupid to you. It might be your husband, it might be your wife. You just got to pause. And doubt that emotion until you're able to check it and see where it's coming from. I'll see y'all next week.